in the measure that we love, here love Jesus Christ, we wish to assimilate ourselves to Him. Very well. We have the privilege of not merely associating, but I dare say identifying ourselves in our death with the death of Jesus Christ. In other words, we are to daily reflect on the relationship between Christ's death and ours. What is that relationship? It is very close. Christ's death on the cross is a guarantee that our death will also be a preparation for eternity. Except for Christ's death on Calvary, none of us could securely die in our bodies and be guaranteed eternal life and eternity. We go on. What is death in the eyes of faith? It is the end of our probation on earth. How this needs to be underlined and emphasized. We are all undergoing the test or examination on which our eternal destiny depends. It is impossible, I repeat, impossible to exaggerate the unspeakable power that we have in our free wills to say either yes or maybe or even a brazen no to the will of God. We are free human beings. We are capable of refusing to obey omnipotence. And we better believe that we are living in that age of human history where whole nations have lost their faith in a God who has the right to command them to do His will. Death then is finally, at long last, the end of our probation. And it all depends on how well we have lived up to this probation, this test, this divinely administered examination, which is our life here on earth. Let's make sure, and now especially when so many Americans, including so many Catholic Americans, have become bewitched by Eastern philosophy, there is no reincarnation. There is one birth, one death, one judgment after death, and one destiny in eternity. we go on. Again, in the light of faith, death is God calling us to Himself. Our last vocation. All other vocations we received through life are all preparatory preludes to that last vocation when God calls us from this life into, we hope and pray, an everlastingly happy eternity. Over the years, I've said this so many times, but I never tire repeating it. Here's a defined article of the Catholic faith, that even the lifetime of doing God's will, practicing virtues, does not by itself merit in the sense of deserve what we call the grace of final perseverance. Of course, the more faithful we are in doing God's will, the better prospects we have of dying in His friendship. But there's only one sure way of receiving the grace of final perseverance, and that is to pray for it. The next time one of your partisan friends asks you, Jim or Mike or whatever your name is, all these Hail Marys that you Catholics recite, what's the idea? When asked, they know the Hail Mary. Some don't know the Hail Mary. So, you give them the Hail Mary and ask them to repeat it after you. Let's say the Hail Mary together. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Both the closing words of the Our Father and the closing invocation of the Hail Mary are please addressed to God for the grace of dying in His grace. Pray for the gift of final perseverance and pray consciously. Know what you're doing. In other words, we want to make sure that when God calls us out of this life and to the life to come, that as He warns us, we'll be ready. Remember, you know not the day or the hour. People die unexpectedly. We go on. He'll ask you, what is death? In the eyes of faith, death is a precious sacrifice we can make to God. I don't hesitate saying it is the most precious sacrifice we can make to God, and make it often during life. As over the years I've recommended, the last thing at night before you retire and the first thing in the morning when you get up. Because there will be a last night that you will go to sleep and not wake up. There will be a last morning, the last day before eternity. And the beauty is, you can offer your life hundreds and thousands of times. Jesus, I offer you my life and accept from your hands whatever kind of death it may please you to send me, with all its pains, penalties, and sorrows. Then some motives in reparation for my sins, for the souls in purgatory, for those who will die tonight or today, for the souls in purgatory, and for your greater glory. Don't waste the marvelous sacrifice of your life by dying only once. Offer your life to our Lord many times. And besides being pleasing to God as a sacrifice, also help and be all needed, beginning with the speaker. We all need to give up our lives daily to God in order to wean ourselves from the beguiling, deceptive seductions of this world. We came into this world with nothing, and we'll leave this world with nothing. But what a difference between leaving this world with nothing actually and leaving this world with nothing internally. There is no creature on earth, none that is standing between me and my God. One more observation on death seen to the eyes of faith. All of this, by the way, that I'm sharing with you is in the Catechism of the Catholic Church. Death is the beginning of eternal life. Once our bodies die, then we shall begin what we now believe in, that eternal life for which we were made. But of course, everything depends on the conditions of our soul when our body is deprived of its principle of life, the soul. In what we're calling the 11th article of the Creed, remember what we said? I believe in the resurrection of the body. In 1950, when Pope Pius XII defined Our Lady's bodily assumption into heaven, it was on November the 1st of 1950. During the whole summer, I was working with the Vatican Radio. Romans told me it was the hottest summer in the history of recorded Rome. One afternoon, going to the studios of the Vatican Radio, I looked at the thermometer in St. Peter's Square, and even 125 degrees Fahrenheit. By November the 1st, Hardin was hospitalized. Having worked for months, what a thrill to broadcast the definition of Our Lady's Assumption. Nowhere. They provided me with a radio. Big deal. So I could hear the Pope pronouncing the definition. But the next day, Pope Pius XII met with all the bishops who came for the occasion. Some were this side of 1,000 bishops from all over the world. I'll never forget the homily that he gave the bishops. He explained why he believed that God wanted him to define Our Lady's bodily assumption. He gave a number of reasons, but the one I've never forgotten. 1950. The same year, the same Pope canonized Maria Goretti. Remember? The martyr for her chastity. The Pope told the bishops, "We are now entering into what I believe will be the most idolatrous period in world history where the human body will be adored." Where the condition for remaining a Catholic will be practicing Christian chastity. And he told the bishops, we need to be strengthened in our faith that not just Christ himself, who of course is true man, but let's face it, Christ is also true God, but Mary his mother, a completely and unqualifyingly human person. Now there's a human person in heaven in body. He repeated, "In the generations to come, we will need this faith in our own resurrection from the dead to keep us strong facing an unbelieving world, strong in living faithful to Jesus Christ and the practice of chastity, marital chastity, celibate chastity, consecrated chastity for those in religious vows." we need this article of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in the resurrection of my body, not being angels but human beings. We can never separate the body from the soul. We name the virtue, and both body and soul must work together. Very well. Both are destined to be rewarded. We need this. I need it. You need it. Believing as we do that on the last day, in the church's dictionary, the first day, when the whole human race will rise from the grave, that our bodies that maybe had to practice heroism to remain faithful to Jesus Christ and the practice of all the virtues, or with emphasis, the virtue of chastity. Our reward is coming. It is coming. Be patient. Just wait. Lord Jesus, we believe in the resurrection of our mortal bodies. But we also believe that we have to pay the price of that glorious resurrection. And the price is a price you paid to obtain for us the grace that we need to use our bodies to glorify you, so that using our bodies to give you praise here on earth, we may enjoy you, our God become man, you in your body, we in our bodies, in that heavenly eternity for which our bodies and souls were made. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. O Mary, conceived without sin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.